The Bible says we reign in life through Jesus Christ. Do not forget that name. Everything works in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit responds to that name. Satan responds to that name. Demons respond to that name. In the name of Jesus. I was worried about many things. My health, my family, my mother, my church, the weather, demonized people, and the wickedness in America. But the Lord said to me, stop your worrying and fear and rule and reign in life. You know, that's what the word says. Well, now why? Because we all have power and authority in the name of Jesus to rule and reign in life. The devil really does run from the name of Jesus. Submit to God, resist the devil. In the name of Jesus, tell him where to go, and he's got to move. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. We read that, we quote that, we say that, but we don't believe that. We need to start believing that. That I have authority over demons and devils, and so do you. The new birth not only cleanses us from sin, but gives us tremendous benefits that many of us do not know we have. We don't even know many of the benefits we have. But Psalm 103, verse 2 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all of his benefits. You don't know what they are. Here they are. That you have to have time to read this and make time to read and study the Word of God. But in the meantime, I can help you by giving you a lot of good scriptures that God has used in my life. As believers in Christ, we are freed from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. One of the greatest weapons that the devil uses against you and me is condemnation. He constantly tells us that we're not worthy to pray. We're not worthy to be servants of the Lord. That we're not worthy to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not worthy to minister to other people. We're not worthy to operate in the gifts. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you believe that? You say, well, I've done some things. Well, 1 John 1:9 will take care of that. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't let the devil put you under condemnation or you will never rule and reign in life. As long as you feel unworthy, you're not going to make it. I mean, to really walk in victory and rule and reign in life, because you'll feel like you can't. You feel like you're not worthy. But if you're born again, you're worthy. Well, I'm not perfect. Well, join the club. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. We have been redeemed from the dominion of darkness and from the old slave master of the devil. Do you know what it means to be redeemed? It means you're bought and paid for. You're bought and paid for by blood. You belong to Jesus Christ. Before that, you belonged to the devil. But now you've been redeemed, you belong to Jesus, and now you've been given authority over the same guy that used to be your slave master. Jesus said, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions to over all the power of the enemy. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness, here you go, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You're not the same, you're not the same person, you're a new creation, and you're no longer a part of the old Satanic kingdom. You're now a part of God's kingdom. And if you're ever going to walk in victory, ever rule and reign in life, you got to know who you are. Amen. Not only am I worthy, I have authority over the devil to tell him where to go. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have been transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of the Son. We must confess. We have been redeemed, bought, and paid for. I tell the devil all the time, I'm redeemed, I'm bought and paid for. You have no right to touch me. I'm the property of God. And I am worthy to receive the blessings of God, not because of me, but because of the blood of Christ being applied to my life. We cannot take credit for anything. And if we do, the pride will pull us down. I'm bought and paid for by blood. I'm the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not of this world any longer. Quit thinking of yourself as just being, well, I'm just a human. You're a human, but you're born again. You're a child of God. You're a king's kid. Now, what does all this mean? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And there was a book written years ago that says we're king's kids. And he got the idea. I actually had to preach in our church a few times. He got the idea right here where it says we are the household of God. If we are the household of a king, then we're king's kids. You see, we're not strangers to God. We're fellow citizens with the saints. How many know that Jesus Christ lives in your heart? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. If Christ lives in you, then he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. So quit thinking yourself as just, you know, a nobody. Now, you can't become prideful and arrogant, but as long as you know who you are and why you're who you are, because of Jesus Christ, it's okay to have confidence. I learned to say in high school and college, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know what? I found that to be true. No matter what I'm assigned to do, I can do it. And I can do it better than anybody else. Not so I can brag about it. Listen to that one more time. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I say this a lot in church. Humility is saying I can do all things through Christ which enables me or strengthens me. Pride and arrogance is saying I can do all things. And that's where a lot of men are. I can do anything. I can accomplish anything. I don't need anybody's help. Well, that's pride and arrogance, and it's going to get you in trouble. But as long as you say I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me and enables me, that's humility. But it also enables you to walk with confidence. I don't walk around like an old broken down mule, you know, or an old dog, you know, limping around. I believe in standing up tall and walking with confidence in the Starbucks, McDonald's, or wherever you're going. Can you say amen? Amen. Walk with confidence because you are a king's kid. You belong to God. That doesn't make you anything special except by the grace of God. You're still just the same thing you always was in the natural, but now you're a man of God because of him. Amen. And a woman of God, whichever, only because of him. We are not strangers to God. We're fellow citizens with the saints. In John 15:19, Jesus says, you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Is that true? Have you been chosen out of the world? Well, then you're different. And don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed of it. We do not belong to this world. We can confess we are of the household of God. And when we really get down, the devil's trying to beat us down, we need to say that. You know, I have been redeemed, devil. I've been bought and paid for. I'm now of the household of God. We do not belong to this world, so we can confess we are the household of God. We're king's kids. We have power and authority. Start saying, I have been redeemed, and I am of the household of God. Say that to yourself. Build your own self up. Build your confidence up in who you are. I have been redeemed. I am of the household of God. I'm the wrong side of the tracks. I had an uncle in prison. My daddy was tried for attempted murder. I had the same demon in me. I was on my way to hell. I was stealing stuff. I had no reason to. It was just fun seeing if I could get away with it. Yay. But somebody invited me to vacation Bible school when I was 11 years old, little Baptist church. I got saved, and God totally changed my life. I didn't know all this who I am stuff from the Word of God in those days. But it started there, and then God began to teach me himself, his Word. And I've been redeemed. I'm of the household of God. And my past is gone. The Word of God says that because we have received grace and righteousness, we will reign in life through Christ Jesus. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. How much time y'all got? Oh, we can go all night. Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, listen, death reigned through the one. After Adam and Eve sinned, death reigned over all human beings. Death and destruction now rules over people of this world. If they're not born again, death and destruction is in their future. For if the transgression of the one, if by the transgression of the one, Adam and Eve, death reigned through the one, Adam and Eve, death and destruction now rules over the people of the world, but we're not of the world. That's why we need to really understand that. Well, all these horrible things are happening to people in the world. They don't have to happen to us. We have authority. When COVID was hitting everybody really hard, but everybody in this church got it. And we prayed over each other. And we had several tremendous miracles. People healed. Tracy Caston, I got word that she had COVID. She was in the hospital. And she was very, very, very sick. They brought her home. And I was in Nashville at a meeting. And someone called me and says, Tracy's back in the hospital. And it looks like she's dying. And it says it's gone from bad to worse. And boy, I began to pray like I never prayed before in my life. And of course, I was praying for all of you, everyone that had it, and others here. God raised you right up from the deathbed. Mike right there, they told me he was a goner, but he's sitting right there. And so we don't have to just give in and give up like the world does. There he sits, Tracy. I got back on Friday morning. I called her cell phone expecting her husband to answer or somebody in the hospital to answer because she was dying. but she answered. She sounded completely normal. And I'm talking about the next day. Thursday is when I got the report she's dying. Friday, I called her sometime in the morning, Friday morning. And I think it's Friday morning. Maybe it's Friday afternoon. And I said, Tracy, how you doing? So I'm fine. I said, what do you mean you're fine? You're supposed to be dying. She said, well, God heal me. And so I got up, got out of the hospital, and I went shopping. I'm shopping. Well, see, the reason we fought the devil is because this little message right here has been in my heart for a long time. The devil's not going to rule and reign over me. He's not going to shorten my life 1 minute. And then the devil tried to put that thing on me. And I got up one morning and I could not breathe. Dottie had it, my mama had it, everybody knew had it. It was coming on me. And I was praying that God would break it off everybody else. But I was needed as a pastor to pastor this church and take care of all my people. So I could not get sick. I told the devil, you're not putting this on me. Y'all paying attention. I'm not just preaching something I heard on the radio or I read in a book. This is what God has taught me myself over the years, praying and fasting and seeking God. I don't have to give in to the devil. I don't belong to him. If you're born again, you do not belong to him. And you have the same authority and power I do. There is no difference. Now, God has given some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There's positions of leadership. They are to be honored and respected. But the Holy Spirit is available to everyone. You have the same authority and same power and the same Holy Spirit that anyone else does. Amen. And Jesus said, the believer, the works that I do, ye shall do. He that believes on me, the works I do, he shall do. It didn't say apostles or prophets or preachers. It said the believer. So you need to believe you have this kind of authority. And I couldn't breathe. I said, devil, you're not putting this on me. I got a job to do. I got to pray for all these other sick people. I cannot wind up in the hospital. I got to take care of them. You get off of me right now. And I fought a battle for about an hour. And I began to just visualize him being right there with me because he gave me a vision once of being right there with me. And I rebuked that thing. And finally, after about an hour of fighting, it left. Completely left. I did all my staff meetings. I never got sick. I wasn't coughing or doing anything. God healed me. Just like he healed Tracy. Except she really had it really bad. Do you really believe that? Yeah, I believe that she would have died. I believe I would have died if I hadn't taken authority over it. And now, I wasn't the only one praying. I'm not taking credit for anything. The whole church was praying. We all pray for each other. And then the next day, it came back again. This time I was totally sick all over. I was hurting all over just like that. I said, devil, I've already told you, you're not putting this on me. Now get out of here in the name of Jesus. Submit to God. Is that true or not? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So what's the difference? Some of us believe it. Didn't used to. But over years, I've learned to believe it. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he's got to go. And I believe everyone in this room, everyone watching by live stream, if you will practice this and believe this and meditate on this, when the devil shows up in 2026, you can tell him where to go. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. Get your hands off of me. I'm not your property. I don't belong to you. And I rebuked that thing, and it left again. I never missed one staff meeting, never missed one Sunday preaching, because I learned to take authority over the devil. And other preachers, you know, they were saying things like that, but they died. Just because you say it don't mean you really got it in here. It's one thing to believe it up here. It's another thing to believe it here. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. When I get in trouble or get a new attack of a sickness or something, very often I don't have the faith. And so I pray and meditate on the Word till I get the faith in here. And once I get a peace in here, assurance in here, a revelation in here, then I tell the devil where to go. You get your hands off me because I got the victory. Faith is a substance and evidence. It's not just something in your head. And a lot of Christians say, well, I got a peace about it. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I've got an assurance it's going to be okay. That's what I'm talking about. And sometimes you just have a no-so revelation. Sometimes you're reading a scripture, and boy, it grabs you. And you grab it back and memorize and start speaking it. And when you speak that word out loud, the devil runs from you because you got it in you now. It's not just in your head. But you can't be lazy. You got to be willing to spend some time meditating on the word and memorizing these scriptures. Now, God told me to preach this. You can ignore me. I've been preaching in Knoxville for 45 years. Most people have learned how to ignore me. And that's okay. But don't ignore the Word of God. So what does this mean, ruling and reigning in life? Here it is. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. This is in the Old Testament. He says, I have redeemed you. He's telling his people, Israel, I have redeemed you. He did redeem them from Israel. I mean, from Egypt. He delivered Israel from Egypt. And that's kind of like our deliverance. And preachers use that as an example. Just like God redeemed the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery, he has redeemed us now out of Satan's slavery. And so even then, he was telling Israel, I have redeemed you. You're mine. I've called you by your name. Look at this. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. For I have called you by name. Thou art mine. God says, I have redeemed you. Therefore, you belong to me. And certainly that's true now. Because it says you're not your own. You're bought and paid for by blood. Verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, listen, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So reigning in life does not mean we never have problems. Reigning in life means we have the power and authority to move mountains, to defeat giants, and to stop storms, and to walk through terrible situations and come out on the other side completely unscathed. And I've been living this way most of my life, especially like since I started fasting and praying about 47 years ago. But it's never easy. The devil never retires. He never takes a vacation. He's always got another trick. He stole my microphone just tonight. You say, well, that's a minor thing. Well, some things are not that minor. And you need to have to, learn how to deal with all of them, minor and major. I practice on the minors. If I can win over the minor things, I can win over the big things. Reign in life means we have the power and authority to move mountains, defeat giants, and stop storms. Reigning in life does not mean we won't go through the fire. It means we can go through the fire without being burned. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You believe that? I hear a lot of people quoting that. But preachers quote it too, but it doesn't mean they believe it. There's several preachers around here. COVID killed them. You got to do more than just say it. You got to believe it in your heart. Substance, evidence, know so. You say, well, how do I get it there? You meditate on it and pray over it and meditate on it until it goes from here to here. How'd you get saved? You heard the gospel, and somehow it got in here. And you said, man, Jesus is the Son of God. I got to do something about this. It started right here, and when you confessed him as Lord, you were saved. Healing, miracles work the same way. It's faith in your heart. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I say that all the time. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And believe me, I have had a lot of them over the years. We had a baby born with a major heart condition. Boy, was that a challenge. And so the devil's really come after me and Dottie, but we've learned to walk in victory. That daughter's born with a major heart condition. She's in her 40s, and she has given us three beautiful granddaughters. And God has just worked miracle after miracle through her, and it continues to. Norman Williams, I heard about him, and I invited him to come to church here, and he came. He survived the March 1977 runway collision of two 747 Pan Am jet. One's a Pan Am jet, one's a KLM. 747, I think it was the Pan Am, was one of them, was taken off, and the other was taxiing in, and they had clearance to taxi across the runway, but it was real foggy, and nobody could see anything. And so, let's just say it was the Pan Am, and it was taxiing, and the KLM was taking off full speed. And just as it lifted off the ground, loaded with people, the pilot saw the other 747 right in front of him, and he could do nothing except go straight ahead. He plowed through that plane, and it tore the wheels off and broke the wings open, and all the fuel flooded into the, let's say, the Pan Am, I'm getting them all mixed up, Pan Am jet, and that thing caught on fire. And there's only very few people survived, and everyone in one section was burned to death except for Norman Williams. And he said, he told us this here in the church after he came here. He said the metal was glowing hot. He said, I took my hands and pushed glowing hot metal out of the way. And he said, as I went, I was saying, when I pass through the fire, I'll not be burned. When I pass through the fire, I'll not be burned. It's important to know the Word of God and speak it. And you might be saying, this is getting way out of my realm. I can't believe this. Well, I understand. But it happened. It's all over the news. And somehow Time Magazine, when he got through the fire and got out on a wing and jumped off, and the Time Magazine photographer was standing there and got his pictures as he jumped off the wing, and he brought that Time Magazine and showed us the picture of him standing there in front of this plane on fire. There's no way to deny it. He walked through that fire. But he was saying, some of y'all look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Yeah, I'm an old farm boy, so you may not know what that means, but I do. And so he told us the whole story. He said, I was literally pushing glowing hot metal out of my way with my bare hands. And he was the only one in that section that lived. And he was evidently the only one saying, when I pass through the fire, I'll not be burned. When I walk through the fire, I'll not be burned. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I'm with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. That's ruling and reigning in life. You're going to go through the deep waters. You're going to find yourself in the middle of a rushing river, so to speak. Find yourself walking through the fire. Find yourself facing COVID and cancer and all kind of things. But you face it with Jesus. Can you say amen? I went to Baptist Seminary, graduated so I could become a facistic, a good preacher with style and class. Sophisticated. Gotcha. Get that tongue untangled. But anyway, when the Holy Spirit comes down, I don't always act sophisticated. But the power is real. The power is real. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Daniel chapter 3, verse 24, the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials. Now, do you believe the people in the Bible are something special? Or do you believe they were people of God who lived by faith? If there are people of God who live by faith in God, even though they aren't under the old law, they still had to believe in God. The three Hebrew children told Nebuchadnezzar, you may throw us in the fire, but our God can deliver us, and he will deliver us. But if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to your idol. So they had the faith that God was going to deliver them. And sure enough, that old boy threw them in. He took their challenge and threw them in. And then he looked in and says, one, two, three, four. Hey, guys, how many did you throw in there? Three. Well, I see four. Who's the fourth one? I believe Jesus Christ. I mean, I'd take an angel, but Jesus would be better, wouldn't it? Listen, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and stood in haste. He said to his high officials, was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men loosed. The only thing that burned off of them was the ropes that had them tied. He said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. Why did they say our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to your idol. We need to operate that kind of faith in 2026. Well, we got it to lose. But you pray over the word until it becomes real in your heart. Faith is a substance and evidence. It's not just something you make up. I've had people tell me, well, just have faith. I can't just have faith. I have to have a scripture, have to have a word, have to have a revelation in my heart, a touch of heaven that produces peace, assurance, and know-so. And when I pray and seek God and meditate on scriptures, no matter what I face, if I stick with it, I can get a substance in me that says I'm going to win. He said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. So I believe he was the son of God. We are reigning in life when we pass through deep waters, march through rivers, and walk through fire. In Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. How many is all? It's all. I hadn't planned on telling this, but a lot of my miracle stories happened years ago, but this is one just happened a few weeks ago. And I've told it here in the church, but I'm still amazed at it. I was at the health club working out. I mean, some things are obvious, you know. I've got muscles that just never did grow very big. I was working out. And we came out of the health club, and it was about 5 weeks ago now, six. It was raining. So I started jogging through the rain, hopped in my SUV, drove home. I only went in the kitchen, the bedroom, and reached for my phone. It's gone. And I searched through the house. I've only been in two rooms. I went back out to the SUV, searched under all the seats. That phone had disappeared. I thought, Lord, what happened to my phone? And like a lot of you, I have all my appointments and all my contacts. And now I got all of these people. Got a total of about 500 people calls me pastor, and I have to be able to get a hold of them. And all that was gone. I said, God, what am I going to do? And it was about 1 o'clock, I guess, when I realized it was gone. And finally around 3 o'clock, worrying and praying and worrying and praying, I just sat down in a chair in the master bedroom. And I just sat down and started praying. And I said, Lord, you said whatever I asked for in prayer, if I'd believe, I'd receive. Now, I'm asking you in faith, believing you to get me my phone back. And the word says, what things soever you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive. And whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it and you'll get it. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, it'll move and nothing will be impossible to you. And whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you'll get it. I said, Lord, I'm asking you to get my phone back. And I believe I receive it right now. And this is what I'm talking about. He spoke to me. He said, I've got it. I didn't run around saying I got my phone back until I heard that. Well, you got it. Well, where is it? And all of a sudden, I felt an overwhelming urge to go back over to the health club. And I have a witness, that beautiful lady sitting right there. She's my girlfriend. We've been living together for 53 years. We've also been married for 53 years. I love to go into Starbucks and say, this is my living girlfriend. And let me know, my preacher said, what? I said, yeah, she's my living girlfriend, but we've been married the whole time. So I said, Dad, I'm going to go back over there and drive through that parking lot and see where my phone is. She said, I'll go with you. So she hopped in. We got back over there. We drove through the parking lot, didn't see anything. But God said, I got it. I mean, if God says I got it, I got it. Or he's got it. But that don't mean I can just sit and do nothing. I got to go look for it. Some of you have been praying for a good job. You got to go look for it. If you believe God's got one, you go look for it. You can't be lazy. You got to do your part. And so we drove through the park and didn't see anything. And I had already called two or three times over to the health club. And I said, they searched through the health club, the locker room. They said, we don't have a phone. And one of them said, well, call security. So I called security. And they said, well, we've been all the parking lot. We haven't seen a phone. And so they looked again. They said, no, we don't see a phone. And so Dottie says, I said, I'm going to go back in and talk to the, I hadn't been back. I just called on the phone. I said, I'm going to go ahead and talk to them in person. And she says, well, I'm going to keep walking around looking in the parking lot. I said, you're just wasting your time. It's not out here, but go ahead. I mean, you know, the wife's always right. You need to listen, because sometimes God will speak through your wife, mister. And so I go in and I talk to this one lady. She's a dark, they're young ladies. One's brunette, one's blonde. And so the brunette said, I'm the one you talked to, and said, we still hadn't seen anything of that phone. And said, we searched through the locker. It's just not there. And the blonde said, wait a minute. Someone told me a while ago they saw a phone leaning against a tree. What? In the parking lot? Yeah. And so she said, you go back and look through the locker room, and I'll go out and look by the trees. And she said, they told me they'd bring it back in, but they didn't. But the thing is, there's many places of business there. There's even a dental place and I think a massage place and all kind of doctor's offices. I mean, the person who lost that phone could have been from any of those places. So the person who found it didn't know where to take it. So about that time, she said, I'll go look in the parking lot. I said, I'll go back in the locker room. Dottie come flying through the door. I got it. And y'all pay attention. You don't have to just accept whatever happens. Through prayer and fasting, you can change it. Meditating on the Word, though. It's not about fasting. It's about meditating on the Word and praying over the Word. And God speaks to you most of the time through the Word, some one way or the other. And so she said it was leaning against a tree. So what happened? When it fell off my clip, see it right there? When it fell off my clip, it was raining. And it fell on the street in the rain. So somebody didn't know where to take it, so they picked it up and leaned against the tree so the water wouldn't destroy it. And God says, I know where it is. It's leaning against a tree. He didn't say that part, but he told me in my spirit, and I didn't hear anything on this, but I just had to, how many of you know, you got to, there's two things you got to watch for. One is a caution. If you feel a real caution, don't do that. You better back off until you pray about it. Don't just break through that caution. And other times you just have a peace and a revelation. You need to do that. And you need to start softly moving. So we went over. I felt that strong urge. Drove around the parking lot. Didn't see anything. Dottie felt led to search through the parking lot. Lady told me that someone saw it leaning against a tree. And God knew where it was the whole time. And he headed against the tree to protect it from the rain. Everybody say amen. Is my time up? How's my time doing? Where's the timekeeper? Okay. Who cares? Christ has given every believer great power and authority, and we must use it. 2 Corinthians 10:3. You've got the notes there. Help me out. We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly. But a lot of times we Christians, we try to do everything in the flesh without even praying about it. If we get sick, the first thing we do is call the doctor, run to the doctor. Am I against doctors? Gracious, no. One of my best friends is my medical doctor. I go every year and get a thorough exam. He told me just this summer, he said, you're in perfect health. There's only two things wrong with you, and that's your mental condition and your looks. And that rascal's going to be one of the speakers during this fast, Dr. Rick Mays. He's one of the best medical doctors who ever walked on 2 feet, and he believes in the power of God just as much as we do. And he'll pray for you. He's not going to be here to do medical stuff. He's going to be here to share the Word of God and pray for you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, everything that contradicts the Word of God. You take authority over it. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When you're praying for a miracle, you're going to have every kind of negative thought the devil can hatch. And you have to take authority over them. Say, no, I'm believing the Word of God. I am the property of God. I rule and reign in life. He's here right now to deliver me, work miracles for me. When I walk through the fire, you got to talk back with the Word of God. Do not war according to the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh, but we cast down arguments and reasonings and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Matthew 21:20, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how can the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, see if you believe this. Surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. Jesus said, speak in faith to the mountains, to the demons, to the strongholds, and cast them into the sea. Verse 22, and whatever things you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive. You see, we tend to think of this as mystical, but it is truth. It's not just mystical. It is the Word of God. It's truth. Jesus said we can speak to mountains, and we can. We can speak to COVID and tell it to get out. A tornado, I was at my house, and man, a horrible storm was predicted. They were talking about tornadoes, and yeah, I thought it's going to blow my house away. I knew it wasn't because I was taking authority over it. But I said, devil, you will not touch this house. You'll not touch the church and our members. You're not going to attack. You're not going to destroy their houses either. I take authority in the name of Jesus. That tornado came right down Bob Gray, and it took them weeks to get all the trees off the road. It tore many giant trees down. Came right down through here and tore the tops off these gas stations. Over here at Waggles, the covers over the gas pumps, tore it right off. And all it did here is blew a lid off of one of our trash cans. Do you really believe that was God? Yes. I know it was. He protected this church because I asked him to. And I wasn't the only one. This is praying church. It's the first thing we do most times, pray. Psalm 91, verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I quote that all the time. David, not putting that on me. And here's a good response. I am not next. They'll tell you, well, you're next. Well, if you're not born again, you're living for the devil, you may be next. But we are born again and know Jesus Christ and believe the Word of God. We can say, I'm not going to be next, devil. I take authority over you. But you have to use your authority. Why would he give us authority when we need it? And why would he give us authority if he wasn't going to back it up? See, he backs up his authority with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I have authority. When I speak to mountains, it's the Holy Spirit that moves them. It's not my bad breath that moves them. I speak to demons and devils. They're not afraid of me, but the Holy Spirit backs up what I say because it's based on the Word of God. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. This is Psalm 91, verse 13. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. So this is ruling and reigning in life, you and me taking authority. And Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus says almost exactly the same thing. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, we have authority over curses, demons, and demonized people, but we must use it. So Acts chapter 13, verse 10, now look at this. You do not have to allow demonized people to get you fired or to run you out of your neighborhood. You have authority over people who are used of the devil. Look at this, Elymas. You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him. You see, and for a time he was blind. Paul used his authority to stop this evil, the evil plan of Elymas. Paul was trying to win the governor there at that island to Jesus Christ, and his sorcerer kept interfering, so he took authority over him and commanded him to go blind. And he did. And as a pastor, many times the devil said, demonized people in here, and normally I just take authority over them and bind them up, and they just leave. You have authority over demonized people. That doesn't mean you do anything bad to them. It just means you take authority so they can't hurt you. Ruling and reigning means rebuking storms, rebuking sickness, rebuking disease and demonized people and mountains. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I'm trying to decide what to do. Running out of time. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph or win in Christ. Now, buddy, that's a good one. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. I say it like this. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win in Christ. Not in my ability. I can't take authority over demons and devils in my ability, but I have authority given to me by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, never forget to use that name, in the name of Jesus. You see, the Lord has provided for us everything we need to win. So I confess this. The Lord enables me to win. So never cast away your confidence. Stand on these promises, no matter how bad it looks. If you'll stand in faith and believe God, like I did with that phone, and pray you to get a word on it, and then follow through with it, and not doubt it, you'll get it. And you can stop sickness from coming on you too. Hey, with his stripes I'm healed, devil. You take your whatever and get out of here. You may think, well, I'm not sure I believe anything you're saying. Well, God gave me these revelations on healing, and you can believe this or not, but the people here know it. Some have been praying I get sick, not be able to preach, but it hadn't worked. I say that jokingly, but I'm sure sometimes I wish we could have a break. But anyway, I haven't missed preaching with sickness for 47 years. And that's not the miracle. The miracle, I'm only 49. I've been 49 for decades. When I hit 49, I liked that year, so I just stayed. Matthew 17:19, then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, why could we not drive it out? The demon, it was a demon. He said to them, because the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this demon, he's talking about not a mountain, he's talking about a demon they couldn't cast out, move from here to yonder place and a move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Jesus said it, I didn't say that. But this kind does not go out except by prayer with fasting. So we need to pray and we need to do some fasting. So here Jesus says, if we have living no-so faith, we can command demons to leave. But if we want this faith, we must do some serious praying and some fasting. Practice prayer and fasting. That's why not many churches do this. So this church is your opportunity to join into 21 days of praying and fasting. Matthew 10:1, he called his disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every sickness and disease and sickness. So God has given the believer authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to work miracles. Matthew 11:23, truly I tell you, whoever. Now people say, well, it's those apostles. And several times here he was addressing apostles. But listen to this, and this one in Mark 11:23. I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, does it say apostle or does it say whoever? And it says, he who believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do. Not the apostles, it's the believer. Remember, the apostles couldn't, I just read about it. The apostles couldn't cast the demon out of that little boy. And they were the apostles. So why couldn't he? He says it's because of your lack of faith, your littleness of faith. So they couldn't do any miracles either until they became believers. Y'all paying attention? This is a lot better than your amening. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt it all in his heart, believes that what he says will take place, it'll be done for him. And that's exactly what I did to that COVID when it tried to come on me. I said, you're not coming on me. Devil, you're not putting this on. I cast this thing back down where it came from and it went. You don't have to believe this, but you don't have to walk in victory either. You don't have to rule and reign in life either. So here Jesus does not say apostle. He says whoever believes. Well, I got some crazy stories I was going to throw in, but I ain't got time. Truly, not real stories. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes on me, read that with me, he, 1, 2, 3, he who believes in me. Do you believe that? Start believing it. But you need to pray over the Word of God until it starts getting in you. That's why we need to have a time of praying and fasting and seeking God. This fast is not about starving. It's not about just giving up food. It's about praying and meditating on the Word of God with fasting. Let's all stand.